हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय दयानन्दरूपाय परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे. ॐ सहनाववतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. So having discussed about the Atma Swarupam, in the 20th mantra, Lord Yama says that truth, which is looked upon as Ishvara, is smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest, is available for recognition in the mind of every individual human being. It is there as the truth of every being also, not only human being. It is there as the very essential nature of every being. So he says, to say this is essential truth, nature of every being, he is Guhayam Nihitaha. And only a person who is free from the hold of desires, who has Viveka and who is dispassionate towards time-bound ends, such a person alone discovers, who can focus his attention only on the knowledge, such a person alone recognizes, discovers the Atma, the truth, as a result of which he becomes Vita Shokaha, becomes free from grief also. So who is the one who can attain the Jnanam, and what is the benefit of Jnanam? Where Atma is available for recognition, etc., all that Lord Yama discusses in this 20th mantra. So if a person, again, there's a beautiful order presented in the 20th mantra. Akratuhu, the dispassionate person. The dispassionate person is the mature individual who knows the limitations of everything else in the world, who knows the limitations of all pursuits in the world, thereby who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, knowing the value of knowledge. Such a person alone, because of his pacification of sense organs and organs of actions, because of his disciplined sense organs and organs of actions, he discovers the Atma's glory. Means he discovers the very nature of the Atma. Discovers Atma, he discovers the nature of the Atma, thereby resolving his identity with that Atma. This person becomes free from grief for good. Vita Shokaha Bhavati. We saw that. We've been seeing the Bhashyam also. I think we had to see. The 21st mantra also we have seen. Unless, until a person becomes, the person has Viveka, the discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent, it is impossible for anyone to have to dispassion, to become dispassionate towards time-bound ends. See, becoming dispassionate does not mean becoming frustrated with everything in life. Becoming dispassionate is different from being frustrated. The dispassionate person alone can have the disturbance-free mind, distraction-free mind. A passionate person will be very distracted and disturbed. Anything can easily disturb him, distract him. The dispassionate person who is focused will not be distracted and disturbed by anything in the world or any sense objects, etc. Thereby, he can be focused. As a person of focused attention, he alone can listen, understand, grasp, and it is easy for him to resolve the doubts, easy for him to be contemplative because he has that contemplative disposition. Therefore, ascertainment also is possible for him. Therefore, enjoying the benefit of knowledge also is possible for him. Otherwise, so Shankaracharya began his Bhashyam on 21st mantra, Anyatha Ayamatma Prakrutaihi Purushaihi Kamibhihi Durvigneyaha. Otherwise, unless a person becomes mature, he grows out of desire for things, unless he becomes disciplined minded, unless he becomes person of disciplined sense organs, it is not easy. His Atma cannot be discovered easily by people of countless number of desires and who are still immature minded. So, Atma cannot be known easily by immature, unrefined minded people who are chased by their desires always. He said that as an introduction to 21st mantra. Then we have always seen the literal meaning of the mantra. Asino duram vyajati sayano yati sarvataha kastam madamadam devam madanyo jnatu marhati. I have explained mantra already. And now we have to see the Bhashyam part. I'm going to read the Bhashyam now. So, evam in this manner, asau atma devaha madamadaha means he is samadaha amadaha cha. Samadaha madena sahitaha madena rahitaha. He is with joy and he is also without joy. Saharshaha aharshaha cha. Viruddha dharmavan. Ataha jnatum ashakyatva. Ashakyatvat jnatum. As it is not possible to know that Atma, as Atma is of now the one who is endowed with the opposite natures, opposite attributes. Kahatam madamadam devam madanyaha jnatumarhati. So, kaha jnatum arhati. Who is qualified, eligible to know that Atma? Madanyaha, other than me. It means an ordinary person who is a simple, who is ordinary person, a simple person who is of simple interests, whose life becomes satisfied with simple fulfillment of simple desires, is a layman. Such a lay person, by him, it is not, Atma is not easily comprehensible. Atma Swarupam cannot be understood easily. Therefore, who else is eligible to discover that Atma other than me? So, who else is eligible to understand the Atma other than me? When he says, I gave a elaborate class last week, how the knower of the Atma is knower him, Atma himself. Atma is the only knower explained. So we have to understand another meaning also. Who else other than me can know that Atma means? Here, any eligible person alone can discover Atma. Here the me implies, me refers to a qualified eligible person. The person who has shamaha, who has damaha, who has mastery over his mind and sense organs, and who is committed to the pursuit of jnanam, such a disciplined minded person who is aspiring for jnanam alone is eligible. So I am a person, I am highly committed to the pursuit of jnanam. I'm aspiring for jnanam. Of course, I have all qualifications means that any qualified person can say this. Therefore, who else can know the Atma other than me? That who implies any eligible qualified person who is aspiring for jnanam. Okay. I'm going to read the Bhashyam now. I'm coming to today's class. Asmadadehe eva. Asmadadehe eva. Sukshma buddhehe. Panditasya. Svigneha ayamatma. Ayamatma suvigneha means what? Ayam atma suvigneha. This atma can be easily comprehended. This atma is easily comprehensible only for a mature individual who is endowed with a subtle intellect like us. Asmadadehe. So we are all really assumed, to be eligible people. So Shankaracharya writes, Asmadadehe sukshma buddhehe panditasya ayamatma suvigneyaha. Jatma is easily comprehensible only for a mature individual who is of sharp intellect, subtle intellect, like us. And sthiti, gati, nitya, anityadi. Sthiti, gati. Stitihi means what? Stitihi means motionlessness. Gatihi means what? Motion, movement. So sthitihi, gatihi are opposite attributes. Sthitihi, remaining without any movement, is sthitihi. And gatihi means movement. Nitya anitya. Nitya means timeless. Anitya means time-bound nature. So being timeless is nitya. Being time-bound is anitya. So anityadi, etc. Now these are only two he mentioned here. What are two attributes? Stitihi and gatihi. Motionlessness and movement. Time-boundness, nature, and timelessness. Adi, etc. Viruddha, aneka. Viruddha, aneka dharma. Vineda, aneka, there are many, not only many, aneka means there are many, many opposite attributes. And opposite attributes belong to whom? Aneka, viruddha, aneka dharma, upadikatvat. The upadis have these viruddha dharmaha. All the upadis. Upadi means what? The manifesting medium. The physical body is a manifesting medium. Mind is a manifesting medium. Sense organs are manifesting media. Organs of actions are manifesting media. Physiological functions are manifesting media. Of course, mind, the yantira antahkaranam, consisting of thoughts constituting mind, intellect, memory, and ego. also is a manifesting medium. Of course, mind is the first manifesting medium. So the subtlest of the matter, the antahkaranam, and the physiological functions. So in the antahkaranam also, intellect, mind, memory. So it's a manifesting medium for Atma. Sense organs, of course, each sense organ is a manifesting medium. Organs of actions, the manifesting medium. The whole physical body is also manifesting medium. Manifesting medium means what? See, when you see a life full body, a living, alive body, you can understand the consciousness being manifest. So, the recognizability of consciousness is there and a part of every living being. So consciousness is available for recognition as the very life in the any life in any living being. Even though we do not see consciousness as consciousness in any living being, but consciousness being there, existence of consciousness, and the consciousness being there is recognizable in any living being. And how the recognizability, anything which serves as a manifesting medium is what now is it to be upadhihi. Upadhihi. Why manifesting medium is called upadhihi? This upadhi is not only it serves as a manifesting medium, being non-distant, being physically inseparable from the reality, this manifesting medium also throws its attributes upon the Atma as though. It is capable of falsely transferring its attributes to the Atma. It cannot really transfer, but falsely capable of transferring its attributes. That is why this manifesting medium is also said to be upadhi. So falsely transferring its upadhi attributes means what? Let me give the example. Now physical body has a form. It has a height, weight, complexion. We have all this. And then physical problems. So all these become superimposed upon the Atma. That's why we say, when the body falls sick, we say, I am sick. Body has the backache is there. We don't say my back. We say, I have ache. So we have the physical body's problems are taken to be one's own problems. This is called what? Superimposition of the attributes, the problems or the limitations or in dharmas of the anatma body upon the Atma. So what does the physical body do to do that? Need not do anything. Being in the closest proximity, being inseparably there as the manifesting medium for consciousness. Just being in a manifesting medium, it's capable of falsely transferring its attributes to the Atma. That's why it's called upadhihi. The physical body is a manifesting medium. If you see a live body, any person who is alive, then you can say that person has consciousness because he is conscious of what he is talking. He's not conscious of what he is talking. We can say life is the proof for us to understand the body has consciousness, sentiency. Therefore, the living being, any living being also is any living being which has a body and subtle body, etc., serves as a manifesting medium. So here, this Atma has the upadhihi. The Atma is endowed with the upadhihi, means this abstract, formless, incomprehensible, inexplicably subtlest reality, all-pervasive reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of every individual, is implied by the term Atma, and this Atma is endowed with the upadhis. Atma has upadhis. Atma has manifesting medium. Even though the manifesting medium is non-separate from the Atma, it doesn't have independent existence of its own outside of the Atma, still Atma has these upadhis. Mithya, satya Atma has mithya upadhis. So upadhikatvat, due to this Atma having these upadhis, and upadhis which are endowed with the opposite attributes, upadhikatvat, viruddha dharmatvat, upadhikatvat, viruddha dharmatvat, vishvarupaha iva, chintamanivat avabhasate. Vishvarupaha iva. As though Atma has the cosmic form, chintamanivat avabhasate. It shines like a chintamani. Okay. Ataha durvigneyatvam darshayati. Therefore, here the Upanishad presents the durvigneyatvam, presents the Atma as the one having. Atma has, it is not, there's a difficulty in discovering the Atma. The difficulty in discovering the Atma, the Upanishad shows. Kahatam madanyaha jnatum arhati iti. So who else other than me can know that Atma? Only a qualified person like me can know that Atma. What is said here? Which means the only Atma which is absolutely free from attributes. Now you can understand, you all know very well, the word Atma implies the abstract, formless reality. And the reality is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, implied with the term pure jnanam, pure consciousness, or pure knowledge, this Atma has no attributes. What attribute does Atma have? Atma is absolutely of the nature of attributelessness, nirgunaha Atma. That nirgunaha Atma appears to be sagunaha. Eva appears as though it has attributes. Nirgunaha Atma appears as though it is sagunaha, appears to be the one having countless number of attributes. Therefore, Atma, how does it shine now? Atma, with various opposite attributes. And why? Because of its closest proximity with the upadhis, which have these attributes. We said to make it Chintamanivati. Chintamani is a one mythological gem which shines with the multi colors. Therefore, like that, like Chintamani, just as Chintamani shines with multi colors, and is Atma, attributeless Atma, as though it is endowed with the attributes, and appears to be Vishwarupaha. Vishwarupaha means what? As the one who alone is in the form of all the beings endowed with all attributes. Okay. Now, Shankara Bhagavatpada goes back to comment upon the first sentence. Karananam upashamaha. Karananam upashamaha shayanam. Okay. Now he is defining what is sleep. Shayanam. Shayanam means lying. Shete means lies. Lying on the bed. Lying on the floor. When you say manushyaha shete. A man lies down. Lying down. We can say kate shete means he's lying down on the mat, lying down on the bed. Shete. What's the noun form? It's Sayanam. Sayana means lying. So what is, I mean, it implies sleeping also. When a person is lying down, and he sleeps also. So Shayanam, what is Shayanam? He explains here. Karananam Upashamaha. What is Shayanam? Karananam Upashamaha. It takes great deal of patience to be with the text. Otherwise you will feel bored and run away. Why so many things are repeated? I know all these things. Wow. You may feel that way. It is a great deal of patience to listen to every word here. So, karananam upashamaha shayanam. Some people think, when they feel a little bored, they disappear. Actually, it's nothing to feel bored. Of course, we had to see what is there going to come. Okay. See, even though shayanam simply lying means lying down, it implies here sleeping. Sleeping. So what is sleep? Define, Shankaracharya defines, karananam upashamaha. Upashamaha means resolution. Resolution. Resolution of what? All the 10 subtle powers. And the antahkaranam, 11, totally 11 subtle powers. Resolution of 11 inexplicably subtle material powers is called sleep. What does it mean? In deep sleep state, what happens? All the 11 powers resolve. The resolve means they become non-functional. They remain resolved in sleep. They become non-functional. If all the 10 powers remain resolved and non-functional, means 5 subtle powers which serve as instruments of knowledge. Jnana Indriyani. 5 subtle powers which serve as Karma Indriyani. Instruments of actions. All the 10 resolve, remain resolved. What does it mean? Why the 10 powers remain resolved? Because the antahkaranam, the subtlest indriyam, the subtlest power is, the subtlest material power is what? Mind, antahkaranam. The internal instrument of knowledge, I said to be, okay? Antahkaranam also remains resolved. When the antahkaranam remains resolved, all the 10 powers also remain resolved. All the 11 karanani, 11 instruments, internal instrument of knowledge called antahkaranam, bahya karanani, external instruments of knowledge, 5, and 5 instruments of actions. Antahkaranam, jnana indriyani, karma indriyani, all these instruments of action. Karanam means instrument. 5 instruments of actions, instruments of knowledge, internal instrument of knowledge, 11 of them remain resolved. Antahkaranam resolves first, then all the 10 also resolve later. It means simultaneously. When all of them resolve, why do they resolve? Why do they resolve? Why do they become non-functional? Because the thoughts remain resolved, which means there is no manifestation of knowledge. Because the antahkaranam functions in a certain way. It's called function of mentation. The function of mentation happens in such a way that there is a time the thoughts rise and there's a time the thoughts remain resolved. So when the thoughts remain resolved, then there cannot be manifestation of knowledge. There's no manifestation of knowledge. The mind, then functioning of mind is not possible. Therefore, all the 10 powers also, not being backed up by the mind, remain resolved. When they remain resolved, they're as good as non-existent. When you're forced asleep, you do not know there's something called sense organs. There are sense organs. There are organs of actions. There is a mind. They're all functional. You don't know anything. So all the 10, 11 of the mind, sense organs, organs of actions, all the instruments lose their status of being existent. And they're as good as non-existent as long as the person is asleep. That is why the physical body, when the perception of the world does not take place, knowledge of the world does not take place, and the physical body, physical activities being not there, the body also is lying in a bed. It is, even though it is not a dead body, still the body is also as good as dead now in sleep. That is why what is sleep? Karananam upashamaha shayanam. Karananam upashamam shayanam. Shayanam literally meaning lying, implying deep sleep means resolution of all the instruments. Instruments of knowledge, actions. 11. Okay. Karananam upashamaha shayanam. Now, Chakratri writes further, Karana janitasya. Karana janitasya. Ekadesha vijnanasya. Karana janitasya. Ekadesha vijnanasya. Upashamaha shayanasya bhavati. When the all the sense, all the instruments of knowledge and actions remain resolved in deep sleep state, what happens for the one who is asleep? Who is asleep? The person who is ended with the sleep. Okay, who is asleep means the person. The person who is there not knowing one's own existence. The person who is very much there, being aware of the sleep. Even though this awareness of the sleep is there in sleep, but the person does not know one's own existence. For shayanaha, shayanaha, shayanam, sleeping. Shayanaha, the person in sleep. Shete. So here, shanach, antashabda. Shayanaha, one who is sleeping, one who is asleep. Shayanasya, for a person who is asleep, for him, upashamaha bhavati. Resolution happens. Resolution of what? Resolution of the knowledge. Vijnanasya upashamaha bhavati. When the instruments remain resolved, for the person who is asleep, for him also, there is resolution of the knowledge. Vijnanasya upashamaha bhavati. Vijnanasya upashamaha bhavati. Vijnanam of what? Knowledge. Resolution of the knowledge happens means that is why in deep sleep state you do not have any knowledge. What knowledge you do not have? You do not have the knowledge of your own existence. You do not have the knowledge of the existence of the world. You do not have the knowledge of any object perceptible through any of the sense organs. So, karana janitasya. Ekadesha vijnanasya upashamaha bhavati. So karana janita means karana janitasya ekadesha vijnanasya. Knowledge of the specific object. Visesha jnanam, vijnanam. The specific knowledge of the specific object born of, okay? Born through the sense organ. Karana janitasya. Ekadesha vijnanasya. Means the knowledge specific knowledge of the specific object, a specific knowledge born through the specific instrument. Now, through the eyes, a person can have knowledge of light, or all the opaque things which reflect the light can happen only through the perception, through the sense organ, the seeing power. So knowledge of the sound can happen only through the ears. Like this, specific knowledge of the specific object happening through the given instrument. Knowledge born of specific instrument. That knowledge becomes resolved. Therefore, karana janita means knowledge born of specific instrument. Karana janitasya ekadesha vijnanasya. Through one instrument, you can have knowledge of only given object. You cannot know all the five objects through one instrument. That's why ekadesha. Karana janitasya ekadesha vijnanasya upashamaha bhavati sasayanasya. There happens the resolution of the specific knowledge of the specific object born of a specific instrument becomes resolved for the person who is asleep. Okay. Yadacha evam kevala samanya vijnanatvat kevala samanya vijnanatvat sarvataha yati iva. Yadacha evam kevala samanya vijnanatvat sarvataha yati iva. So then, yada evam yada evam means what? When evam, in this manner, a person becomes what now? Kevala samanya vijnanatvat. So kevala samana vijnanatvat means what? There's only the knowledge of kevala. Kevala samana vijnana means there's only pure knowledge or a pure consciousness in sleep, deep sleep state. See, samanya vijnanam means here there is only pure consciousness which is not identified with anything, unidentified, without any identity. The consciousness is as consciousness. The essence remains resolved. There is no essence. There's no this sense. There's no sense. What is there then? There is the source of knowledge, which is pure knowledge. Look at kevala samanya vijnanam. Kevala samana vijnanam. That is pure consciousness without any identity is said to be what? Kevala samana vijnanam. It is not the vritti jnanam. It is not the manifest knowledge. What is there in deep sleep state? In deep sleep state is a state where there is no manifestation at all. There is no knowledge of any object also. There is only the pure knowledge, the source of knowledge, and which is not identified with anything. When the consciousness is, the essence remains resolved in consciousness without any identity. What is there is కేవల సామాన్య విజ్ఞానం. If you want to know how the pure consciousness is, the pure, all-pervasive, one-secondless, non-dual reality, pure, one-secondless, non-dual reality, as pure consciousness, and which is pure existence, how it is. If you want to know, without any identity, you must remember your deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, what is pure consciousness, the source of all knowledge, without any manifestation, without any I sense or this sense. And pure consciousness obtaining in deep sleep state without any identity is what? Kevala Samanya Vijnanam. The identity being not there, it is not even as though divided also. Consciousness is not at all divided. It is indivisible. Pure consciousness is indivisible, undivided. You must be with me to understand this. You must be with me. Undivided, indivisible. But when you see in deep sleep state, consciousness is without any identity, then it is not as though it is enclosed. It is not located. It is not localized. It is not enclosed. It is just there as it is. Which means there is no division. There is no subject-object division. In deep sleep state, when there is kevala samanya vijnanam, when only, kevala means only pure consciousness is, without any manifestation, without any identity, without I sense and this sense, there is no subject-object division. There is no duality. Therefore, there is no plurality possible. There is no duality. There is no plurality. There is no identity. There is just one secondless, non-dual. There is only one secondless, pure consciousness existence. The experience you have in deep sleep state is Advaita Anubhavaha. Advaita Anubhavaha. Non-dual experience. In sleep, the experience one has is non-dual experience. But what is the problem? Even though there's non-dual experience, you as individual do not know that you are that non-dual reality. This ignorance is the problem. There is non-dual experience in deep sleep state, but there is no non-dual vision. There is Advaita Anubhavaha is there, but Advaita Darshanam is not there in sleep. This is what happens in samadhi also. People work very hard, practicing meditation for long, having the thoughts resolved. They have this Advaita Anubhavaha. In sleep also you have Advaita Anubhavaha. But What is lacking is Advaita Darshanam. You must know you are, and you are that non-dual reality, pure consciousness. Unfortunately, in sleep, you are there without your the knowledge of your existence, without the I sense, without this tense, without this sense, without the subject-object division, without any division, without any identity, without the thinking or feeling of being located. Therefore, there is only kevala samanya vijnanam. So when the identity is not there, when there is no sense of being enclosed or localized, how sarvataha yati iva. Sarvataha yati means as though you are everywhere. As though the Atma is everywhere. Sarvataha yati iva. Kevala samana vijnanatvat sarvataha yati iva. Even though you do not know that you are all-pervasive, because of the non-identity, because of having only the pure non-identity, okay, unidentified consciousness, that is as though you are everywhere. Yarvataha yati eva. You are always all-pervasive only. Essentially, Atma is always all-pervasive. That's why it's called Atma. The reality is implied by the term Atma because of its nature of all-pervasiveness. There's never a time Atma is not anywhere. Always Atma is everywhere. Always Atma is. But still, in sleep, as though you are everywhere, you are all-pervasive. Even though essentially you are all pervasive, and that experience is there because in deep sleep state there is only pure consciousness without any identity. Kevala samanya vijnanam eva asti. Okay, why I am saying all this? Let me make it very clear. Yada visesha vijnanastaha. Yada visesha vijnanastaha. Svena rupena sthitaha eva. San. Mana adi gatishu tadupadi katvat. Duram vrajati eva. Sahacha iha eva vartate. Okay. In deep sleep state, how you are, that is discussed in the Shankaracharya in the previous sentence. Now, in this sentence, he says, yada, when. Now, he's talking about the experience of the waking state. When a person wakes up from sleep, what happens? In deep sleep state, kevala samanya vijnanam is there. On waking up from sleep, we see, Visesha vijnanastaha. Svena rupena sthitaha eva sannu. When you wake up from sleep also, what are you? You are the same one secondless, indivisible, undivided consciousness only. Space is always one indivisible, undivided space only. Where the part exists in space, where the part is not there in space, space is always one indivisible, undivided whole. Similarly, what are you, if you say, you are always the one indivisible, undivided, unlocalized, pure, all-pervasive consciousness only. Svena rupena sthitaha eva sanna. Always remaining with one's own sorupam of all-pervasiveness. Always remaining with one's own essential nature of all-pervasiveness. Still, the person wakes up from sleep, what happens? All the karanani function, the 11 instruments, internal instrument of knowledge, all the 11 instruments, pancha jnanendriyani, karmendriyani, antahkaranam, all of them are functional. When they become functional, when naturally there's manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self, and there's also ignorance of, half ignorance also is there, therefore, helplessly person has identity with the body mind's complex. And having the identity, what happened? Visesha vijnanastaha. Visesha vijnanastaha. Remaining as the one having knowledge of the existence of the self, knowledge of the existence of the world. Visesha vijnanastaha. And also as the one having specific knowledge of specific objects also. Visesha vijnanastaha san. Visesha vijnanam means what? Visesha vijnanam means specific knowledge of specific object born of specific instrument of knowledge. So we have specific knowledge of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste. Like that, we have the Visesha Vijnanastaha as the one endowed with the specific knowledge of objects perceptible through sense organs. Even though a person remains always as one's own, with the one's own nature of all pervasiveness, still, mana adi gatishu. When the mind functions, the thoughts move, mana adi gatishu means when the movement on the part of the anatma happens. When the movement on the part of anatma such as mind etc. happens. When the body moves, sense organs move from one object to another object. And when the organs of actions are involved in many different actions, physical body's movement happens. Attention of the mind also moves from one object to the other object. This is how mind moves, sense organs move, organs of actions move in their own way. Physical movement also happens. Mana adi gatishu. When the movements on the part of mind etc. happen, tad upadhikatvat, due to having those mind etc. as the upadhis, this atma, even though it's unmovingly it's all pervasive, still, all pervasively it's unmoving, still, duram vrajati iva, as though atma goes very far. As though it goes far. It moves here and there. Duram vrajati iva. Really speaking, sahacha iha eva vartate. That atma does not move anywhere, does not go anywhere. That atma remains here itself. Sahacha iha eva vartate. That atma remains here only. Here only means what? Atma remains here only means the atma is always available, everywhere available, as one's own swarupam. That atma does not go anywhere even for a fraction of a second. Iha eva vartate. So the whole Bhashyam is to say how Atma has no, Atma is not of opposite attributes. Atma has no attribute at all. There's no, okay. See, Nityatvam, eternity is not an attribute, it's very Swarupam. Timelessness is the Swarupam. Motionlessness is the Swarupam. But being remaining in one place, going to another place, or remaining there for a long time and again being time bound, all these opposite attributes are the attributes of the Anatma only. But because this Atma has the state, Atma has these upadhis. Upadhikatvat means what? As Atma is here, as the one having all these upadhis, which are of these opposite attributes, and Atma is as though, Atma is also as though endowed with the opposite attributes. So here example is given by Ashankaracharya, how in sleep, in deep sleep state, how you are, so you are always in the waking state also, you are exactly like how you are in sleep. How you are in sleep? You are in sleep, just yourself, as pure consciousness. One indivisible, undivided consciousness. Then the all the sense, all the 10 powers, subtle powers, resolve means finished. There's no connection with the external world. No identity with your own body, mind, sense complex. When there's in non-identity, when there's no interaction with the world, you are just universal, kevala samana, samana vijnanam. You are there as kevala samanya vijnanam. You are there as pure knowledge, unidentified with anything, without any subject-object division, without being localized, without being enclosed. You're just there. Then you are, you're as though all pervasive. Really, you're all pervasive. But you are as though you're all pervasive because of your ignorance. And when you wake up from sleep, what happens in sleep? All 10 powers function means you have identity with your own body, mind's complex, and you're also interacting with the world. When the knowledge of the objects take place also, then because of your close identity with this Anatma, and the movement and these opposite attributes, body can remain in one place, it can move to another place also. Attention can remain one thing, it can go to something else also. These attributes of opposite attributes of the body, mind, sense complex become superimposed upon the Atma. Therefore, what happens now? You think as though you are going far, etc. Where can you go? Where are you going? How can you go? Really, you are always just yourself. You are wherever you are. You are wherever you are. But no, there's no wherever. Everything is in you. You cannot go anywhere. You are always unmoving, all-pervasive consciousness, which is implied by the term Atma, which is your Swarupam. I think you all got it. Have you? Have you got it? Yeah. Very profound verse. Next mantra. Okay. Having talked about the nature of the Atma, again, Lord Yama must have thought, not for the sake of Nachiketa, for the sake of people like us. How much are we here? Our life in the world is so strong that very easy for us to lose sight of this teaching. We may get distracted, go away from Shastra teaching again. In order to retain our interest in Shastra, study again Yamadharmaraja glorifies the Jnanam, which means it talks about the benefit of Jnanam. What is the benefit you are going to have by having the vision of this Atma? Why Atma Jnanam you should have? You must know the benefit of Atma Jnanam. Only then you will be driven, chased to pursue this Jnanam. No, none can stop you, prevent you from attaining this Jnanam. Once you become now firmly, you become firmly interested in Jnanam. So you must know the benefit of the Jnanam. So Layama says, before we see the mantra, Shagra Bhagavat Pada introduces the mantra. Tad vijnanacha shokatyayaha ityapi darshayati. Tad vijnanat cha. Tad vijnanat tasya atmanaha vijnanam. Tad vijnanam. Is it clear now? Tasya vijnanam, tad vijnanam. Tasya atmanaha vijnanam. The clear, ascertained vision of that all-pervasive, one indivisible, undivided consciousness implied by the term Atma. Tad vijnanat. As a result of that, as a result of the knowledge of that Atma, Shokatyayaha, Shokasya Atyayaha, Shokatyayaha. Please note the word Shokasya Atyayaha, Shokatyayaha. Now what is the verb here? Yeti. Yeti means Gachati. Yeti is the verb. And Atyeti. Ati is a prefix. Atyeti means overcomes, goes beyond. That's the meaning. Atyeti. Atyeti goes beyond or overcomes. That's the meaning. When you add the word prefix, eti means simply goes, gachati. If you add the prefix ati, it becomes a atyeti. Ati praseti atyeti. Goes beyond, overcomes. Atyayaha is a noun. Going beyond, overcoming. You can say removal, resolution. Shokasya atyayaha. Shokatyayaha. Resolution of sorrow. Removal of sorrow. Going beyond of the sorrow. Overcoming of the sorrow for good. Shokatyayaha bhavati. Iti api darshayati. This the following mantra shows that resolution of grief for good happens as a result of knowledge of that self. This mantra shows that overcoming of the sorrow for good happens as a result of the knowledge of that self. Tad vijnanat cha shokatyayaha bhavati ityapi darshayati. Bhavati, I simply added. Ashariram shari, beautiful mantra this is. ashariram sharish sharireshu. Let me read the mantra fully, then I can break it. Ashariram sharireshvanavastheshvavasthitam. Ashariram sharireshvanavastheshvavasthitam. Sharireshvanavastheshvavasthitam. Read the mantra without breaking the sandhis. Ashariram sharireshvanavastheshvavasthitam. Sharireshvanavastheshvavasthitam. Mahantam vibhumatmanam matva. Mahantam vibhumatmanam matva. Dhiro na shochati. Dhiraha na shochati. Dhiro na shochati. Dhiraha na shochati. Okay, na shochati. First, the verb is shochati, na shochati. And you all know this verb very well. One does not grieve. Who does not grieve? Dhiraha na shochati. Kaha na shochati, dhiraha na shochati. And who is dhiraha? Yaha dhiyam rati sahadhiraha. Yaha dhiyam rati sahadhiraha. Isn't it? The one who protects his mind is a wise person, brave person. If you do not protect your mind, you are not brave. You are not strong. You are not courageous. You are a coward. You are weak. You are not courageous. Courageless person. The brave person is the one who protects his mind. And the one who protects his mind is the one who protects his mind from fear, the phenomenon called fear. The one whose mind is fearless, the phenomenon called fear is resolved. The one in whose mind fear is resolved for good, and the fearless minded person is the one who protects his mind. So, dhiraha na shochati. A fearless minded person, does not grieve. Dhiraha is a fearless minded wise person does not grieve. Which means, he overcomes sorrow for good. How does he become fearless? And as a fearless minded, the wise person, how does he become, how he does not grieve? How he does he overcome grief? Matva, having known, having discovered, having claimed, having take ownership of his own swarupam, having understood what he is essentially, having discovered his own swarupam, having discovered the substance or the substantive, I, thereby having shifted his essence from Anatma, body, mind, sense complex to the Atma. One who sees one's own self being abstract, formless, inexplicably suppressed reality, which is of the nature of knowing. Such a wise person does not grieve. Okay. And what is that Atma? He says, Atmanam Matva. Atmanam matva dhiraha na shochati. The person discovers Atma, then he is dhiraha. Without having the knowledge of the self, one cannot become a dhiraha at all. I am not saying, Shastram says. Who is the brave person? Who is the bravest person? We don't need to go to, we don't need superlative degree at all. A dhiraha means brave. The brave person is the one who has the wisdom. wisdom, the person of wisdom is the one who knows the self. The person who knows the self alone is the wise person. The person of self are just the person of wisdom, and he alone is a brave person according to the Shastram. Otherwise, come on, don't tell us. However brave and courageous the person looks, however the person is looked upon as the brave and the braver and the bravest person by other people, other people who are not brave, okay, there's no use. We must get a certificate from the Shastram, not from our friends. Other people can say, you are very brave, you're braver, you're bravest, you're really courageous. People can come and tell us. We also nod our heads and yes, yes, yes. We feel very proud of ourselves when we are applauded by other people. I tell you, getting certificate from, you know, as a brave person from who are not brave is not worth, okay? It's not real certificate. Puja Swami used to give example for this. When a great, a big music sabha, the music concert is happening in Chennai in December. So all sabhas will be full of, you know, the musicians, and then great lovers of music will come and listen to the music. And then sometimes the people will appreciate. The musician sings in all the sabhas. And people who sit in front of the audience, the big auditoriums filled with people, and people, all the people also in Chennai also, most of the people highly informed in music. So they will know the ragams, they'll know the talam, they'll be putting talam also, they'll be nodding their heads also. They'll be listening. The musician feels very encouraged and feels very proud. And when he's honored also after the concert is over, he feels really good, great in receiving that honor, because the person who appreciates the musician is also well informed in music. He feels very proud. The same musician, when he goes to another place, a simple village, he goes and sings. And some rich person calls him. Of course, he wants money, he goes there, he sings. And people who the audience who are sitting in front of him, they have no music knowledge or anything. And some, they also come and praise him. Of course, he politely accepts the honor, very politely. Thankfully, he accepts the honor. Still, that does not make him as, you know, really an appreciation. The person who praises you must be a great person. Only then the praise you're the reward you're getting is worth getting. So here also, who we should get a certificate, a brave person. He is a brave person. Certification we must get it from Shastram. Get from Shastrajnas. So Shastram gives certificate of bravery. Okay. To the person who has Atmajnanam. Therefore, Atmanam Matva Dhirahana Shochati means a person of self-knowledge alone can be brave. He alone can have his fear resolved for good. The absolutely fearless-minded person is only the wise person who has self-knowledge, whose perspective of the self is completely different from Ajnani. So, Atmanam Matva Dhiraha Nashochati. Who is Atma here? He says, Mahan. Atma is great. Why Atma is great? Atma is great when there's nothing which is greater than Atma. There's nothing which is as great as the Atma also. There's nothing can be compared to the Atma, because Atma is the only reality. Other than Atma, what is Anatma? The material world is Anatma. Material body mind complex is Anatma. Apart from Atma, whatever is Anatma, which is matter, which is as well as non-existent, which has no independent existence of its own, which is not countable as the reality. Therefore, Atma is one. Atma is secondless. Nothing can be compared. Nothing is comparable to the Atma here. It's the second reality other than the Atma. Therefore, nothing is as great as the Atma. Nothing Therefore, nothing can be greater than the Atma also. Atma is the great, big, Mahan. And Atma is Mahan, Atma is Vibhu. Vibhu is also what? Vibhu means the one and the only reality which alone shines as everything. Now imagine, one and the only light. Light is the only thing which alone shines as countless number of opaque things. In the whole room here we see only one light. The one light shines as what? The curtains and the windows and doors and flowers and pictures and furniture and the farms. And one light shines everything in one room. This itself, if you think, if you pay attention to it, is something exciting, astonishing. Imagine the universe, cosmic, in the entirety of the whole cosmos, one and the only reality, abstract, formless, inexplicably suppressed reality, which is endowed with the power of knowing, which is said to be of the nature of knowing, it's arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing, and that reality, implied with the term consciousness or awareness, the only reality which alone shines, is shining as time, as space, and all elements, different elements, all the five elements and all the countless number of elemental forms, names and functions, and all the experiences, all the moments, the actions and functions, and the results of actions. One thing on shines is everything. Vividham bhati iti vibhu. Vibhu. Mahan and vibhu. So, mahantam vibhum atmanam matva. Having discovered the Atma, which is Vibhu, which is Mahan, the person, a fearless-minded person, does not grieve. Again, where is this Atma? Ashariram. Another adjective describing the Atma. Ashariram. It's not adjective actually, another word revealing Atma's nature. Mahan, Vibhu, two adjectives. The third one, ashariram. Atma has no form. Shariram yasya nasti saha ashariraha. Ashariraha atma. Tam ashariram atmanam matva. Are you all with me? Are you all following? Ashariraha. Shariram yasya nasti saha ashariraha. Ashariram atmanam matva. Atma has no body. All the bodies of all living creatures exist in Atma. Just as countless number of parts exist in space, space has no part. Okay? Space does not have part. Just because space exists, just because part exists in space, or the rooms or houses exist in space, we cannot say space has many houses. Space has many parts. Space has many things. Space has many trees, space, we tend to say, we feel like saying, space has many trees, space has many forms, many houses, space has many rooms, space has many parts, space has many enclosures. We feel like saying, really speaking, there is no possessor-possessed connection between space and the objects which exist in space. There's no possessor-possessed connection between space and the objects exist in space. Why? Because space is a subcluster thing which accommodates all the objects. All the objects exist in space, and they do not touch this space, taint this space. They do not divide this space. They cannot divide this space. Similarly here, this Atma is all pervasive abstract reality in which all the bodies of all beings exist. Atma being all pervasive, Atma pervades the body, mind, and complex also. All the bodies are pervaded by Atma, the consciousness. So here, now we can say all pervasive space pervades all the parts which exist in space. Similarly, all pervasive, absolutely all pervasive, subtlest reality consciousness pervade all the physical bodies, all the minds, all the sense organs which exist in consciousness. But Atma, the consciousness, does not have body. Understand? There's no possessed connection between Atma, the consciousness, and the body. Atma is free from the body. Atma is free from the body. Atma is not enclosed by the body. The seeming enclosures exist in Atma. For shariram yasya nasti ashariraha. Ashariraha, Atma, mahan Atma, vibhu Atma. Tam ashariram mahantam vibhum atmanam matva jnatva dhiraha nashochati. Wise person does not grieve. Okay. Sharireshu anavastheshu avasthitam. Sharireshu anavastheshu avasthitam. This is another adjective. It's a long one. Okay. We understood already ashariram, mahantam, vibhum. Three words you saw describing the Atma. Now the fourth word is what now? Sharireshu anavastheshu avasthitam. Okay. See, vastham. Avastham means yat avatishtati tad avastham. That which remains permanently is avastham. Avastham means permanent. Na avatishtati yat tad anavastham. That which does not remain permanently is what? Anavastham. Avastham, anavastham. Avatishtati iti avastham. Na avatishtati iti anavastham. Tishtati means remains. Avatishtati means remains permanently. The prefix ava implies permanence. Tishtati stays, remains, stands. Avatishtati remains, stays permanently. So permanence is meant by the, implied by the prefix ava. Avastham is that which is permanent. Anavastham, impermanent. Okay. Now, shariram is anavastham. Shariram is there. Shariram remains here, but it is not there always. Before the birth of the physical body, it was a different form. And it has came to form, keeps on undergoing changes. And one day the form will totally collapse. It is not, this form is not permanent. The physical material form is not permanent form. It constantly undergoing changes. Before, during, and after. It is of, because matter itself is of nature of constantly undergoing changes. Therefore, it is impermanent form. Anavastam shariram. Anavastani sharirani. All the physical bodies are impermanent. They are of the nature of constantly undergoing changes. That which is beginningless, endless, changeless alone is said to be absolutely permanent. Here, the abstract formless reality is the beginningless, endless, changeless, absolutely permanent truth here. Other than the Atma, everything material, anything material is constantly undergoing changes. Therefore, anavastham, shariram anavastham, hairani anavastani. All physical bodies are impermanent. Therefore, anavasteshu shariresu, anavastha shariresu. In all the constantly changing impermanent bodies, there is non-arriving, non-departing, changelessly ever remaining permanent reality is what? Atma. Anavaste shariresu avasthitam. So the Atma, which is there permanent, the non-arriving, non-departing, changelessly ever-remaining, ever-permanent Atma, obtaining in all the impermanent, arriving, changing, departing bodies. Okay. That Atma. So, anavastheshu, shariresu, avasthitam, one. Ashariram, mahantam, vibham, atmanam matva, dhiraha na shochati. Got it? Okay. Now, anavasthani anavastaha ghataha. Anavastaha ghataha. Now, avastaha akashaha. Understand? The parts come, parts exist, and parts break and go. Space is there. So relative, but absolutely, Atma is absolutely permanent. Okay, so here, having discovered, having arrived at Atma of such nature, the person take ownership of the Atma as one's own self, when he resolves his fear for good, as a fearless mind wise person, he overcomes grief for good. Okay. I'm seeing the Bhashyam now. Ashariram. I'll read this and stop. So tomorrow we'll continue. Okay. Oh, not much. Let me quickly read it. Ashariram svena rupena akashakalpaha atma. I already explained to you. Svena rupena akashakalpaha atma. Atma, by its own nature, is like this space. Akashakalpaha means atma. Here what now? The substance of the substantive, I, the abstract formless reality, which is of the nature of pure consciousness, implied by the term Atma, is one indivisible, undivided, partless whole like this space. Svena rupena means swarupena, by its essential nature, essentially. It's very nature, Atma is like this space. Svena rupena means swarupena, by its own nature. What is Atma? Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Atma is of the nature of divisionlessness. Atma is of the nature of indivisibility. That one indivisible, undivided, all pervasive Atma, the consciousness, which is like this space. Like example, like this space. Atma. Okay. Svena rupena akasha kalpaha Atma. Fine. Tam ashariram. Mean what? So Atma does not have a body. Sharireshu. Harireshu means what now? Not in one body. Now, body means not only human body. So many bodies are bodies of beings of different worlds. He says, Deva Sharireshu, Pitru Sharireshu, Manushya Sharireshu. I can add now, Adi Shabda is there, Adi, etc. Deva, Pitru, Manushya means the beings of this world, human beings, celestial beings, and beings of the world of manes, in all them, Adi, Shabda stands for, now you can say, even Mriga Sharireshu, Stavara Sharireshu, animal body, plant body, insect bodies, you can include what all physical forms you know, you can include. Subtle also can include. So, Deva, Pitru, Manushya, Adi Sharireshu, in all these bodies of beings of different worlds also, Anavastheshu, which are all of the nature of undergoing changes and impermanent in all those bodies, impermanent, constantly changing bodies, Avasthitihi. Sorry, Avasthiti. Okay. Now he's explaining Avasthiteshu means what? Avasthiti Rahiteshu. Anavastheshu means Anavastha. Means avasthiti rahiteshu, those which are devoid of permanence. Avasthitihi means permanence. Permanence, permanent stay is called avasthitihi. Permanent stay is avasthitihi or permanence. Avasthiti rahita means those which are avasthiti rahiteshu. In all the bodies of all the beings such as devas, pitrus and manushyas, etc. Which are devoid of permanence. Which are impermanent. Anavastheshu is equal to avasthiti rahiteshu. Avasthitam, that which remains permanent. In all the impermanent bodies, that which remains permanently is the Atma. Avasthitam means what? Nityam avikritam. Absolutely changeless. That which remains absolutely without undergoing any changes. Nityam avikritam. Avikritam means unchanged. That which remains permanently without going to any changes. Okay, next. Mahantam. Mahatvasya. Apekshikatva shankayam aha. Mahan means what? Mahan is another word for Atma is a Pullinga Shabdaha. Mahan is a Pullinga Shabdaha. Atma is great, big. So Mahatvasya Apekshikatva Shankayam Aha. Atma is great, Atma is big. Suppose big means how big is Atma? The doubt case, the doubt may come, how big it is. So in order to resolve the doubt in terms, doubt as how big the Atma is, next word is said, Mahatvasya Apekshikatvat. Apekshikatva Shankayam. Mahatvasya Apekshikatva Shankayam Aha. The following word comes, Vibhu. We simply say Atma is great, Atma is big. Any word used to describe Atma becomes what? An adjective. An adjective is always relative. There's no adjective, it's absolute. Any adjective is relative. Please understand, any word which describes something is definitely relative only. Why? Any noun which is describable is relative. Anything which is describable is relative. Therefore, any description is also relative. Adjective also relative. But here, Upanishad uses the word Mahan, great is an adjective. It means great, big. Means, so the doubt may come. So, it is possible, Shankayam. Shanka means in, if. When the doubt arises, Shankayam, no? When the doubt arises, as what? Mahatvasya Apekshikatva Shanka. The doubt arises regarding the bigness. Doubt arises regarding the big. Mahatvam means bigness. When the doubt rises regarding the bigness, bigness word, apekshika means relative bigness. Atyantika means absolute. Please understand, apekshika relative. Atyantika absolute. So, mahatvasya apekshikatva shankayam. When the doubt rises regarding the relative greatness, the answer comes, the following word clarifies the doubt. Aha vibhum. Okay, vibhu. See, vibhu literally means what? Vividam bhati iti vibhu. I always give the answer like this, explanation like this, which is explanation given by in the shastram. Here, one more thing he gives, Shankaracharya says, Vyapinam Atmanam. Vyapinam Atmanam. So, Vyapi means pervasive self. Vyapi means pervasive. All pervasive. So, Vibhu means all pervasive. Thereby, one who alone appears as everything. Atma, the all-pervasive Atma, which appears as everything, is Vibhu. Therefore, what? Incomparably big. Infinitely big. Limitlessly big. Why? Everything is Atma. Anything and everything which enjoys existence is Atma. Because existence enjoyed by everything is Atma. Anything which enjoys, which is existent is Atma. Every form is Atma. Every name is Atma. Every function is Atma. Nothing which is not Atma. Time is Atma, space is Atma. And any form, name and function which exists in any object obtaining in any form, denoted by any word, serving any purpose, is Atma. Therefore, Atma being free from time, because time is Atma. Atma is free from space, spatial limitation, where space is Atma. Any object obtaining in any form is Atma. Any word denoting that form is also Atma. Any function or purpose it serves also is Atma. There's nothing which is not Atma. Therefore, Atma is the all-pervasive Atma appearing as everything, is limitlessly big, infinitely big. Time-wise big, timelessly big, big space without space limitation, it is big. Therefore, it is big. Mahantam vibham means vyapinam atmanam, atmagrahanam, swataha ananyatva pradarshanartham. Okay. Now here, very important sentence here. Why does the word Atma is used? Atmanam matva dhirahana shochati. Having discovered the self, the person does not grieve. Why the Atma grahanam? Why the word Atma is taken here? Because swataha ananyatva pradarshanat. Pradarshanartham, sorry, swataha ananyatya pradarshanartham, for the purpose of showing that Atma being one's own self, Atma being non-separate from oneself. Swataha, from one's own self, ananyatva, not being separate. Swataha ananyatva pradarshanartham. Atma is not anyaha. Atma is not another thing. Atma is non-different, non-separate from one's own self. Atma being none other than one's own self. For the sake of showing that reality, Atma, that reality implied with the term Atma, being one's own self, not anything other than one's own self. Yet the word Atma is used here. Atma shabdaha pratyagatma vishayaha eva. Okay, very important lesson, which I'll teach it tomorrow. Okay, because we had to spare time for Sanskritam also. It's all right. See you all soon. Tomorrow, please don't miss the class. Very important lesson. I will make it very, very clear. Tomorrow, I'll do some unfoldment also. I'll do it. Very important lesson. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.